tomorrow, and we have got a presentation. I think what we've done, we consolidate our inputs on various policy matters and problems, and then we put those before the national policy platform and the legal forum. Where it is a matter of policy or legislation, as a province, we have moved to develop provincial guidelines for implementation for the times. It all becomes that it's actually the policy, not an issue. It's our interpretation of the legislation or the policy. What we do in those specific areas, we develop a provincial guideline. I think we've done that for a number of issues, including unblocking nonsense standards for implementation of housing programs. Where we translate, this is a standard for the province, and therefore our national offices and project managers shall have to follow that. But matters we should leave are not within the competence of the province. We take them with the national department and through the policy teams. But specific matters, of course, which may require the consent of the minister, I think those there could be issues which pertain to a specific area. I think there's been something like that around Poplawski Metro on the CCCA. Those matters, we take them specially, I think between them and the minister for special consideration of that. I think when we do have certain projects, you know, the issue of the CCCA, we are not covering certain areas of the property measure, but covering others. I think because of the revision on the CCCA criteria, we take those specific issues from time to time. I will move on to the next one, which also talks about policy matters again. But we deal with the issues of ratification and starting the policy on ratification. I think the matter which was raised there was also about how what happens on site, the issues around temporary structures for the location of beneficiaries during the implementation of the project in the Mozahir municipality. That's a problem. There's national policy on ratification, but what we have done on the draft framework in place on ratification. Again, it is not a matter of policy, it's a matter of how do we do the nitty-gritty of implementing the national policy. And therefore, we would say, let's work on a provincial framework for ratification to deal with the issues of implementation, the fund issues, how do we manage temporary structures, how do we manage the material that we need to be rebuilt, and then to create, to design those implementation framework for project management for the in the province, and then consequently in the province in the implementation of the education program. Both the province and developers, the natural and the also create confidence for the sector. I think we've done that. We ensure that draft policy has been at the appropriate time, also perhaps the committee, would deem that necessary. And the third issue, honorable members, was about the issue of clean water to communities, which is a challenge in a number of areas in the province. Yes, that it is a challenge, water provision and clean water provision. It is a challenge. But what we are noting in the report for the committee is that we, as part of the rollout of the rural housing subsidy in particular, because this plays itself more in the rural areas, we provide, for now, the water harvesting stack in lieu of waterborne water supply as would happen in urban development. But we've created a standard that has to go with the water harvesting stack. But I indicated that we also take that matter with the water affairs department. We are sitting in the provincial water forum, which is led by local government. We are meeting the various sectors, including national departments, and the issues of the water forum deal with water supply broadly in the province, and then we integrate in that process, and therefore start to align also our process. Moving to the other matter, which is also a critical matter for the certain members, I think the committee did identify the issue of topography in various areas of the province. We call it different terrain, and that is subsidy quantum in the stand. Or the dispute at the time was not responding to the issues of this criteria. Yes, I think that has been different for the province. We confirm that as we did at the point. But what we have done is as a province, the subsidy quantum would provide for all other variances. But let a situation of serious discriminatory topography in the affected zone, for example, areas. Topography, arising out of the fact that household are settled in the manner they are and would want to come to extend services to the area they are in, which is government policy. But and we cannot reverse them as the government. What we have to do, I think, is to look on how we can creatively work with the subsidy funder to ensure that those households or those families access the housing and put that. What we do practically is to, in this project, to do a technical assessment of the digital terrain, the ability of the contractor to access its site, the double handling of material, the cost implications arising out of that, the type of equipment which is abnormal equipment in terms of our norms, which has to come on board because that household must be raised and the cost implications arise on that. So I'm sure that was done in Books and Allies at the provincial level because of saying that the projects are not the same and therefore subsidy allocation has to respond to the realities on the ground. That constitutes additional funding, I think that's the only way we do it, to those specific projects where the issue of digital terrain is as it is. But we have noted that it has become additional cost of speed. But that is the only way we've done for that. Those reports are in place for specific projects, Windows are 500 and other projects which are on a steep, critically steep slope. And we are always contact that and then we're moving into the implementation as a project by project based. We don't want to say this will allow us for digital terrain, that's a policy matter, but want to say what is the extraordinary questions on site and then we respond to those based on the cost as would be affected. Moving to the next one, Chairperson and members, is the issue of the registration and issuing out of title deed. I think we noted at that point, I think we compared to the committee that there were delays on the issue of LDs at the provincial level. We have since taken up that matter, I think, as high priority. It stands high on the government indicator of the province. Province is a developer and municipality is a developer because we noted that since 1994, we've given over 20,000 housing opportunities in the province. However, 57,090 title deeds have been transferred, and which indicates that indeed there is not a space base in the issue of title deeds. The 57,190 have been delivered, I think, between 1994 and 2013. But we are saying that on top of that, remember, you can add 9,094 because of that delivery for 2018-14 financial year against the target of 2,000 that was set for title deeds transfer in 2018-14. I think up to February, we've delivered 9,000, we've exceeded the annual target. Because of the interventions, we had to engage directly municipalities which we had entrusted with the responsibility of conveyancing function. On specific projects, we struck MOUs, not MOUs per se, it's agreements on what must happen in this project to roll out the issue of title deeds in the province. But what we've done now with a new project or projects underway, like we've moved to the Kenya development approach, where we've brought in established developers, that manages the entirety of projects, including municipal administration issues, which might be lacking, or say that the project is complete when you have also transferred the title deed. So established contractors now have capacity to facilitate those issues that when a house is completed, the transfer also has to take place immediately. I think going forward, we're saying that there shouldn't be another activity of issue out of the deal. It has to go with the housing delivery process and therefore be incorporated in the contracts of the contractors that we're working with. I think that's how we're dealing with this matter going forward. For the MOU agreement about the backlog that we're dealing with as a province. The other issue I think the members which was identified was on sanitation. I think we only respect in this instance that indeed we are working. I think the health department here on the reported on the bulk eradication program, we're dealing with that aspect for bulk eradication. But again, on the ICE program, we also dealing with the issues of sanitation provision. You remember that the Zimbabwe Delivery Metro has been focusing on the sanitation through informal settlement upgrading. Therefore, we are focusing on informal upgrading for all other areas to ensure that the sanitation program is attended to as part of that. Another issue I think the committee noted, I think was there during the visit we had to attend to, it was the issue of intergovernmental relations and cooperative governance in the rollout of the human settlement program in the province. I think it was manifestly said the number of issues like beneficiary needs, which are inherently a local government function because the need is coming from communities and therefore the beneficiaries can be confirmed by local government municipalities. We have, enforced that. In fact, it has become one of my key government areas as a COO to lead the ICR function in the province, with providing support to regional directors of Mamondo and Haba in terms of dealing with ICR issues, to standardize it, because we cannot deliver human segments without local government, and local government anyway is where all arrangements there are playing that game. We can only find it in that level. We have clear the standard. It is all incorporated in the reference contract of regional directors. In the work we do, we have to work with local government. And it there is improvement in that. I mean, pick up on the federal district where we are at the center of the district-wide international forum in the human services department. We are leading. The meeting cannot fit without human settlements in that area. Or the Shakareka, Mr. Peck, working very closely with the mayor's office. And it is also paying dividends for us. We have taken to that phase. We're trying to replicate that approach to other regions in the province, in ensuring that we take certain phase in ICAN issues and can be able to influence and direct policy implementation into our favor in those areas. At the provincial level, we consult those issues in the provincial ICAN forum. I am sitting in the Technan UNIMEP and UNIMEP department. The HOT is sharing the social services data with what around that moment of daily locally. Also, regional directors have got an obligation to work with the MNCs of human segments and also to share information with the portfolio steering committee for human segments. I think that's beginning to show across the province. We said today that they have got that sort of accountability also to local government politics in respect of human segments, while they've got accountability when they have the provincial level. I think that's the only thing that I think we are monitoring the provincial level at this point in time. The other issue the committee raised was we've noted it as a positive observation around late grey. I think we did visit the project to the committee, and it was very cool, if you think. and in your day, the rousing pilot in your day, I think we're also encouraged by that observation. But not only encouraged, but think that the practice as a province, we should replicate across Lady Grey practice is a human civil chain. I think that tells by its physics that those houses will live for longer because they were a supportive infrastructure around them to blend very, very nicely with the housing in the Grey project. We're trying to replicate that. We're engaging municipalities to say public issue two is good, but not completely good, and they can input on their own infrastructure within the household. We're trying to engage in other departments to enhance our human rights process in the province. In a campaign which we call is the Housing Plus, that it shouldn't be about housing that provide. There should be the other at the time of handing over of the project or the loss of the project. The other issue that we the committee and can magnify is the short-term development agency that we need to access. And we are noting in the report from the Shadows and members that indeed working very closely with Malaysia and the Shadows with the district and therefore is going to be an agency at this point in time. The two things that have come up of that engagement is the fact that there are housing projects coming up in Harik and in Lundi for gas market housing. One of the gas market housing and potential community unit program around those two municipalities. And therefore, now around the issues actually true, which were built before the door of the drug carriers, which has been already is an issue of bank services provision for those projects to take place. All other issues are underway, the feasibility studies. We're working very closely with the municipality. And many other things at this point that we're seeing practically that is not another relations because it must yield to certain actions around Montclair 250 project where there is good work which has happened, the project is nearing completion, and now the municipality had to come on board and deal with the deficiencies around water supply. They had to adhere to that very speedily. So at the time we complete houses, the necessary connections are done in Montclair. The contracts have been appointed and are on site to ensure that there is the connection to water in the area. The other issue, I think the committee noted during the visit was about the MIC, that we need to encourage municipalities to utilize NIC on infrastructure provision. I think we utilize the ICA platforms and also the cluster to persuade the municipalities on HRT. But critically, what we're doing is ensuring that our plans are put before the district-wide interfaith forums, the regional director, but also we also with them because it's easy to identify our project, but we are working with them closely in terms of what will be required for that housing project to be implemented at a certain point. What needs to address first, and the issue of element has addressed at that point. To say that you need also to set the priorities right. For them to realize housing in this space, there should have been the provision of back services before that. I think we're addressing it through that, through those processes. The other issue that we raised was around ports and loans in an area receiving priority in terms of infrastructure in the settlement. I think we noted in that area, and what is not in the report is the fact that ports and loans, insofar as the sector is concerned, is a priority municipality and area. That there is work happening in Port St. John, but maybe in the rural war Port St. John in terms of housing. That's why the women's beard was also launched. We are engaging with the WFA on carbon transparency. We are engaging directly around dealing with the issues of infrastructure in Port St. John. I think that's the approach we're taking as a department to engage directly on issues of water supply. As we do for the Port St. John, as we do for the municipality, and that's our term and district. The other issue that the committee lifted was on the temporary toilet in Abu Mbeki village, as should happen as soon as possible. That is also in Mosa, here in the municipality. We confirmed that what we've done is provided the VIP for that project. And the temporary measure indeed while the issue of bad infrastructure is being addressed by the municipality. I think that the activities have been constructed in that project. The other issue which was looked at the time was one in Paris capacity in Paris which puts them in on transportal machines. And that most project I think we have engaged in a participatory on this matter, I think in the previous year. We've engaged in a policy for joint inspection of projects. I think that then called on this policy to enhance its capacity on the ground, inspection capacity. I think we may confirm that has brought about improvement also in the issuing out of the funding into the boss in various projects. There's more inspectors are being deployed to our areas, our districts in the province. And I think that has happened. I think we have been encouraged by that support from the industry, and we are constantly engaging them on this matter. The other matter which was lifted was on the land for ratification of poorly colored housing that were enrolled. With the industry. I think we know in the report is that we continue in our policy because of this joint inspection program and therefore any defects, if you want to communicate those defects for 2023, I think through our offices on various projects, and to ensure that those defects are needed to before the houses can be confirmed or even to be completed practically. I think we're managing the project early to ensure that those are done. At least I think developed for projects in community. The other issue which was raised by the committee was on the issue of temporary structure material, toilet material in quality, and also the laborers which were not provided with sufficient wages. I think we noted that. I think we say as a department on that point, owing to the nature of the cases, these were temporary structures in areas which were scattered. I think we have to engage the contractors that these matters should be dealt with. One, the material to be used should be FEPF approved and therefore should be able to tend the times. We're engaging contractors that is a problem. What are contractors for construction and contractors for installation of temporary structures? Why engaging them directly? Regional directors are sitting with contractors on monies in their assessment review, project review sessions, managing contractors on performance on site, quality on site, and also dealing with issues on spending. And the problem also why engaging with the contractor directly on these matters. It includes now the contractors which provide temporary structures. The other issue with the committee depends on noted was on the only need to intervene on all projects for the block, particularly in Kosa municipality. Some of the projects were left incomplete and it had been blocked, post and zones in particular, with pitch dark and completed. I think I will try to also talk to this issue. I think the problem with the program for unblocking a program, what we did, we went on into an entire assessment of our project portfolio, which stands at 1154 at this age, clarified it, others are running, others are already finishing, others are under planning across the province, others are blocked, and therefore they are alive in the scheme. Then we because others are foreclosure because they're completed, but there have been issues that needed to be finalized for them to be properly closed. I'm talking now on unblocking. It is a work stream within a program where we are unblocking projects, other blocking by boxes or other things we initiated, but back since became inadequate, how to unblock. I think we've got a special program which is focused on unblocking projects. That special program is therefore looking also on projects in Boston Jones, which are blocked by other issues. It could be land and other issues. I think we've taken that issue, but I think also Suresh might also make some interesting. I think the report set up on knows some of those areas. We are noting to the committee, because the report has so, that we're going to take two projects in the province, which were initiated. Some cost planning happened, and some construction comments. And stopped and were even blocked because the bulk was found adequate. You would do the use of category 300 in a municipality. It is common and then it could cannot be completed because of inadequate of what have applied. We go to others in Koha municipality, we go to Krivani for a project for a person who really blocked. We have noted that as a province, we have had to also creatively work around the land in terms of how to deal with that. We have to work with the municipalities. There are 10 municipalities affected by the two projects, and there are about 35,854 units currently in those 32 projects brought by in the province. And when we looked on the NIG spending, the funding flows and levels, and what the Christian District was then was pushing forward as MIG to unlock those towns. Then we got the report telling us, no, we are planning that area of our intervention, however, we can only complete it in 2025. If it's a problem at the end, if we had to come with an intervention today, how do we meet those municipalities halfway to unblock those projects today? Because we cannot postpone intervention, because those projects are in the towns, how the people are, and a center of growth of informal settlements, new informal settlements growth. We had to intervene, work around the plan to say, how do we take the national unblocking policy of 2005, how do we operationalize it in the provincial event, and then work on the specific issue to look on the funding flow for credit planning, and whether we cannot miss it halfway at this point. The 300 million intervention has been dedicated to unlocking those projects today and not in 2025, and then can work the additional arrangement around those issues. I think the report must show the members goes on and on, therefore to indicate which are the areas where we have went on. The KFD President Pilot Zimbabwe was interviewed with services on another on site. It indicates the interventions were put in place and which are underway in those municipalities to unlock block the projects by this residence. I think Honorable Shepherd is not the last point of the report, but maybe my colleague here, the Calcifier meeting, we want to show one or two.
From then to now, how many? They have to tell us. Which area? Because it might not be the area that is mentioned here. You know your problem. So when you are reporting, you have to tell us. The issue of Constant Jones. Yes, of course. There was an issue. But I hope that you read it. For any second, you just read the recommendation. You don't have to read the report. Because portfolio committee cannot afford to balance each and every recommendation for each and every standard. That is in the report. That is why it is important for you to read the report itself. Don't concentrate. One more has to focus on the report, the content of the report. And then you are able to say and show. The report says 1, 2, 3, 4. Then that is how we have responded. If Pastor John, we were very much clear to say there is a challenge of holes that has been dug. And those holes there are left or have been abandoned. Now they are a health hazard to the community. When your portfolio is human segment development, which means going into an element is above your shoulders. You have to look after the segment of the citizens of your province. You don't look after the HS human segment development grant of the USDG or whatever. You look at impilo, the abandon, the challenge. If now there are holes that have been dug by the contractors, which were supposed to build toilets, and they left those holes uncovered. Children, Marathon, Dr. Raman, Blanchard, Marathon. So if you read that report, it's clear, clarify those. You should have responded because you don't write a report as it is. You have to go to the Constant Municipality and say, or call them, or say, because you have the original, you have the original manager, you don't have to go there. You instruct the regional manager, go to Pastor Johnson's party and get 1, 2, 3, 4 and report. Never miss you. So, he report in I call. For instance, the issue of tax encroachment. That's taking encroachment. How does that matter? How has that matter been addressed? Because you have to speak directly to the municipality. Because the municipality didn't respond to the area, to the issues that we observed. The issue of the parliamentary questions was the members, they had a very heated, it was a person, John. All the members were interested in the person. Because they were in that area, if it can be developed, in an improvement in life, that was not the position. And the issue of SCC, the policy of whatever, CFO, COO, they must respond to this. Because we said, in how we cope, it had to be reviewed. And that is a policy, it's not a legislation. A policy, you cannot say you have reviewed a policy 100 years. And that, it was that simple, because we are saying he has to be here. I apply the case, I apply to the dollar number one. He played your call, he does it, he took focus. So let us think about that loan. How long will we keep that? If, Mina, you are saying, we area where there's a problem, you took focus. But you are not coming out with it. How do you address it? How have you, specifically on this area that has been mentioned here, have you gone to the department and say, we have got this challenge, can you give us a extra money that's in, that in relation to the SSPCA? Because it's unnegotiable. Yeah, we are not open this to the people that say, I don't understand. Because you don't have to show my authority, you don't get him. Any policy? I refuse to review policy within the department. So,
I think you've actually covered most of it, and I think the biggest problem for us here, there are really critical issues. We're talking about topography, title deeds, beneficiaries, sanitation. It's all the absolute core of what is causing the service delivery uprisings out there. And I think that's what we're trying to avoid. Now, you talk about working creatively when you talk about the topography. I think what the chairperson has said, and I'm just emphasizing it, we sitting here in Parliament cannot say that you have progress on the issues that were raised, because we don't have any numbers here. You've given us a very nice story, but we don't know the numbers. Now, you talk about, for example, the title deeds. And you've delivered 57,000 and 9,000. But what is the process that you've got in place? Because we've actually looked at the issuing of title deeds. We've been into the title deeds offices. And, you know, when you are doing your planning and your survey, are you at that point beginning to look at your land demarcation so that you can start opening up? That's with the title deeds office. And then that sort of is the planning ahead, but we need to have numbers. Your beneficiary list coordination and the management thereof. What is in place there that is going to ensure that there is your beneficiaries are happy with the delivery? And then I think also the shoddy workmanship and the NHBRC. I think I'm hearing you say that you actually are delivering on this because you've increased your inspectors and you will no longer have shoddy workmanship. And I hope that that is correct. Chair, I think that. But I think it's not helpful to us, this report. It doesn't give us quantifiable stuff that we can actually follow up on. Thank you.
Yeah, I think you said this, and I think I was still being covered by yourself and the Honourable Gorman. I wish, I'm sorry, you had left this to ask this because you made your own comments. Because, yes, I really wanted to say something right from the beginning, and you covered it. Yeah, you were just telling my ideas. But in any case, on the question of the title deeds, I'm also worried that the story sounds too good to be true. I'm sorry to use that expression. You see, because you mentioned here tens of thousands of hiding bills that have been issued within such a short time. But all along we have been hearing stories of people occupying houses that don't belong to them, and those who were in the hills originally not being able to occupy those houses because someone else has taken it over. And that was one of the reasons why, for instance, we stressed the question of title deeds as a committee. And the fact that by the time the person, the beneficiary, is handed the building, that beneficiary has got the title deed in his or her hands. So that we don't have the problem of people who don't qualify but occupying their houses that they never even applied for. In other words, also the corruption that is connected with it, we wanted to do away with that. So I think I'm very worried, and I think an honorable woman has already said who would have expected details of how exactly you are doing those kinds of these offices and how are they cooperating and so on and so forth. So I understand, just to get that large number of title deeds that have been issued within a short time and you don't get the detail of how it has happened, it just makes one question as to whether really that is the case. Now the issue of the housing and human settlement in the state, yes, we are happy that we are also hoping to do that. But I thought that we had already started. You know, I pass through McLean Town every time I go to the airport. And I noticed that in McLean Town, in that village now, there are, to me, they look like RDP houses. I hope I'm correct. McLean Town is between Sarajevo and East London. I don't ask RDP houses. Yes, anyway, there are houses there. To me, they look like RDP houses. And I was questioning you and saying, yes, they have listened, because it looks very good, you know, with those active houses in the village like that. So I would expect you, for instance, to mention that and say we have already started. Don't say we are still going to start. We have already started. But you see, we are not getting that from you. And then, of course, the same thing, you know, with the inspectors of the MHPRC, we all know the problem of the quality of the houses. And then all of a sudden, you've got all these inspectors who are now going out and inspecting their houses, and so you've been going there all along. But now my worry about that is, are there any budget implications? Because if now you are increasing the number of inspectors that we have, you should be telling us about what the constraints are going to have in terms of the budget. What are the budget implications of that, for example? I must say, you didn't try on page 7 to give us some figure, the kind of information that we wanted, but I think even that is really not quite sufficient. So, in other words, we are all saying the same thing, that we needed more practical examples of exactly what has been done in order to respond to the concerns that we had raised when we went there. I think I should end this chapter.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Having had been such a person, and regarding what's on chance, unfortunately I don't have the document before me, but I did pick up some of the issues that you raised. Among those is a point that I think I do appreciate that was raised by the department regarding an approach by department of also a government, interdepartmental and intergovernmental coordinated effort to look into what is actually happening in the future. I'm saying this, Chairperson, because in my understanding, that it's still an issue that relates to the land claim. Now, looking into that particular, the issue of Mahenga that this has been raised, it was built whilst there was the issue of the land claim. Now, I'm not quite sure as to how that was addressed up until this particular time, because there is still some dispute coming between the land claimant and the mine. I'm not going to go deeper into that. On Saturday, I happened to land in a place called Eton. People flatly refused to go and rest, precisely because they were saying, plus minus 200 applicants, you should put an house. 200 plus. They were complaining to them, say, those who benefited are those who never applied. That's what they're saying. So all of the circumstances, they were then saying, we are not going to participate until this matter has been resolved. So it then suggests that they are then saying, it must then be investigated as to how that happened. The issue of the invisible surveyor pen again. I mentioned a lot because I think there are a lot of surveyors in general. There are those who are always moving and doing that kind of
thing. No, I'm not.
I'm not saying because I would have appreciated to hear that the reason why is because of also the issue of the land claim. Because even the settlement that Mila Gibane asked, and whether you do and gone through the settlement agreement, which portions have been returned to the claim and which were then given to the local municipality. So I'm just raising this issue because it is still a matter now that has been taken by claimants to the public protection. And the public protector last month visited the claimant. And ultimately the matter is going to come back to us. Because the public protector is going to give a report because they suspect that there is something amiss that that I'm then saying, the issue of the intergovernmental and interdepartmental relations is so critically important to understand the situation of competition. That is my strong proposal, sir. We must all be informed as to what is actually happening. If 20 years down the line, nothing has happened, competition has that kind of potential to develop, not for only competition, for the former transgender. When you think about the aspects of authority and your development, chairperson, if I was on the center to the development center, I just wanted to raise those two comments, chairperson.
The manner you presented in this presentation, even academic, but there is another information there, not there. At least just specific. You should have wanted to be informed. We are academic, but now what you need to do to make a follow-up, for instance, the issue here will set investigate. Our recommendation was to investigate the issue here that material is in the here and take action and report to us. You never investigated that. And you must be honest to us. You never did. Because if you did so, you will be able to tell our child. We went to Mombasa, here in the municipality, that is the report of the entire department. And the department is doing what? Because that material, we are no one is in the area, they are saying the US, they are going to go everywhere. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And the churches are not supposed to be there. Because the people who were there, they were claiming that they have never received those prayers. So they were not supposed to be there. So we should have gone to the municipality and inquire why. And then to check why did they order them? Keep them computerized them. The toilet and CDC is relevant, but I think. We should have gone there and investigated and tell us now. I should die about that. Now I have a job.
So,
because if this bad report here is clearly indicating as a result, people will see that their issues are being addressed. What is important is to address, not to come and report to us. What is important is to address. So when I go to one of these municipalities, whatever you are saying here, I'm assigned. It's Tala. And that's because of the Tala who is just trying to have a toilet. And besides that, when we visit these areas, there are no officials in. No officials in what I do. Why do they report? Even before China, before you say this report, you pay for them to sit in the hotel. You pay transport for them. I'm not relating to this today. This is a general missionary which are intervention on the street side. So I'm in a woman with truth. It's all promises. I'm still like oversight. So I'm in Torah. Let Torah be in that. But what was expecting? After the level of oversight, she's still at the top. So she put a cup on Monday. So she's let her in Torah. She's put a notice card. It's okay, okay. Why did I do that? I'm not going to be in the province. This is what you need to convert, to convince people to do it. What are the issues? You address those issues. So if you have after a year, there's only a problem with what? That's the wrong answer to this rate. So I have a time to change some of the other people. They won't know the same old thing before. But after I have a cook, there's one who's in the name. Oh, you're calling this now. Yeah, there is, but it's not clearly indicated what's going on there. There are more than 2,000 things that I don't know what to say, education, what are the things that I don't know how many houses or units for that certification that has been demolished? How many units as well as managing certification other than being demolished? So you have to be clear in your report. And one thing that there is a challenge of from a good deal is display. So, for a moment, the council resolution, they are touched on that. So that they are doing, that's why we're going to listen to the decision that they had it. And also try to help. So, for a moment, that is what it's important to read your report rather than the recommendations. The recommendations, you know, those programs. It is important to put the contents of the report so you can really understand and then you make a follow-up. For instance, who's the head? It is the petition and system. Then the manager. Who's the man saying, I know you're refining that because you need to refine. You are saying 4.10.1. Who are for the following the report? In Africa, he followed the court of investigators to conduct the audit. Where? I know that I'm telling like one of them, and that might be talking about Kapan and Liba, that they were in which area? What is the outcome? of that? What is the outcome of that? Many of them, you are waiting, it's not that you are not making. You can't, you are unable to quantify. So you know you are not doing the job, but you are doing it by NSDRC, what you are expecting from you to say, because it's not a reliable. You are expecting me to tell us about it. The other kind of an impact. You have identified the poor workmanship to this area. 1, 2, 3, 4. And the third problem, we have conducted the assessment together with NHBRC. And we have discovered that NHBRC was part of the constructional project. For the quality assurance, they were monitoring the quality assurance. And then he was able to say, NHBRC, for so many units, we have confirmed the statement by the portfolio committee. So, please guys, come and rectify. You can't get on rectifying the projects that have been naturally quite assured by the NHBRC. You can't. More than enough, you can't stop. You can't. We are waiting for that. That's important. From you, it is clear, there is very wrong. Remember? So, we are going to get. Because of that, we feel the need of the secondary support here, but we have not had a certain government to attack us. That's what we want to do. We call it to attack us. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. I understand what you are correcting. I understand that. But you know the comments, but if there are specific issues you want to address, but the long and the short, can tell you independently, but not the report. But the issue of democracy, the collaborative, because it's non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. That is taking for you from the lack. You can respond to the issues that you feel that they require in the specific
President, other members, we take the comments in the committee, I think, positively. And I think we may also need to apologize for the manner in which the report of parties, that even another blunder might be made in using prevalent called a death with the first part, and what is called some information on the last few pictures that talks about specific projects in the area. I think I put only the first summary part. But however, I think we can pick up this, but we build those specifics on top of Tekastan, things that Tekastan, which are on the last few pictures, into the report. But there is the one page we read and we can from. But I think the colleagues, we will take part, and I think we should be able to revise. But I think the refinement process will also be accompanied by special reports, because we believe that we need to have a special report talking to the issue of post and sons in particular. Post and sons are identified as one of the revitalization areas in the province, and they're identified as a special council. We will need to pull information of what we do in that space, what other people are doing, where are looking. I think we'll do that. We'll also present a special report on the title deed transfer, which will talk to where are those 9,000 taxes transferred for 1340 in particular, which projects are those which have come to that. I mean, also together that the MSV his program, Archer's program, will be handing over ILDs in this month. We're meeting here with the MMC for human treatment, but that week, that program was unveiled. It's a bigger issue. Something has happened because all of the ILDs were in municipalities. Conversions have been done. We found municipalities in both of previous of Pedro, and it has something to do with petroleum management. Said that it should to be taken about who is inside the house and should not have been. When the boss has been saying that petitioners are missing, when you say in other areas they are not, they are staying in formal settlement. Other people are occupying the houses. I think those activities where petitioners are alive, they're not dead and not missing, are being handed over within the authorities in this program. I think the strong program activities will also attach, but as the report was that not handing over program of the disease. Is also out to the municipality at this point in time. I think the colleague will respond on the interface to carry a rain also. I don't think they took too easy in that. We will be fine to also look into those issues. I think the members of the colleague, our practical examples, in terms of indeed, the AOT has been replicated across the province. The quality of housing, I guess, has improved. When you go into the past, but I think the CRPNC is no longer sure. It is being implemented in the grounds. There are different houses showing the length of Pakawa in the past from that. I think we've got a project where there is clear improvement in quality. One issue is just as well with inspection. I think within VRC, there are two things happening. I think any VRC has enhanced capacity and they are continuing to do that. Because we are pointing to specific areas where we need capacity. The function of close cost monitoring to actually quality. You can't monitor from the office or through remote control. You need an integrated physical on site to do that. And then you call for capacity. Well, to the CEO, more inspectors are coming our way through their enhancement program. I know they implemented it in general amendment and amendment. And they have become capacity. As the department, what you've done, we've taken the department of the commercial grant of CAP. We've brought in education and built professionals. It was only 2 years. Now, from last week, we're expanding it from 3 to 5 years, those contracts. They are entry level, built and professionals. We deployed a quality coordinator, an entry level. Works inspectors, that is the level of the OSD framework, will help them in because of the constraining equipment share. We had to tap on the commercial grant, but that's the implication of the budget to look in those 3 entry level building professionals and to deploy them to the various regional offices. They are attached to those specific projects to follow in each of one. I'm just saying that's the capacity in the qualification, but indeed we would.
But we are saying on the question of initiatives. were obsessed. Poor women in those houses are expected to be rectified. The question is from the period that we went there. Many persecutions. These houses have to be rectified by who? You are going to claim the 10% from the department to rectify units that are supposed to be rectified by NHBRC. There was with the other and there's the NHBRC. The foolish thinking is pen lane. I asked the other thing. Bring us how many units that we discovered would there were NHBRC officials that were monitoring equality assurance and the units that have been built are purely constructed. But yes, not the right. Everything is 100% NHBRC. But I don't know the environment.
There's an issue problem on the research in the world. I think it's continuing in other areas. Wait,
I think it's fair to indicate, and I think at some point we did indicate that there were two analyses that were done on the issue of classification. Although the major one was NHBRC, but we looked at provinces who would have wanted to claim the 10% to come up with an assessment within the province, and we do have a report from Eastern Cape, and I'm like looking at him to see, he can't say there's no report, because the 10% was approved on the basis of the assessment that was done by the province itself. The assessment that was presented by the department, the full one, that assessment equals later to quantify the damage that has been done where there were no NHBRC quality assurance officials. Because if one of contention here to heal up, because they do not claim 10% from you for the project where NHBRC was monitoring equality assurance. That's the bone of contention.
Now you see.
One lady is concerned. You know that ratification is the concern of the Portfolio Committee. But we believe that it was a decisive decision. Ukushawa the Savaniki inferior product. But simply the mere ratification and identification is what clear would NHBRC should be liable for. Otherwise you are doing very well. But if you are not done it, you must be honest so that when you get back home, you correct it.
I think I can help because it's my second impression that nothing has happened. I'm sure my colleagues, they are tired of the case at this point. They can't reconnect their affairs. We've been working with them. I had a meeting with them last year in November. When I joined HBRC and I found this project that I was talking about, there's about 222 houses in about 4 municipalities that have to be rectified by HBRC at its own office of each and every house, it took longer. When I joined the NHBRC, they had what we called average court. And I said, we can't even have a record. People must go there and I said, each and every house. Then I put a bill of quantity for each and every house. That took not an activity, but that process has been completed in our chapter. We went to, yes, we have, I don't know the details were here, but I know those four areas. We've identified each and every house which must be demolished, what needs to be done in each area. We've costed it. Our council in January of this year approved a budget of 13 million from the National City to get to see those houses. We have done a tender process. We expect that by March the contractor will be on site to fix the 222 houses where the National City did not do well. So I just want to have my Honorable Chair, it is indeed a challenge with S222A, and then what we have done, we are not considering S222A because of what we are applying with the current applicable norms and standards, which is addressing exactly the components that are in S222A. Now, all the houses that are built down from 20 terms that has got S222A, let me not say S222A, the minimum norms and standards, they're ceiling, lasting inside the outside, and the apron. The matter of topography is high on our agenda. It was first raised by the police of the KZN, and it was raised at admin. We have already attended to the issue. Tomorrow is one of the issues that we are going to jointly rectify, and hoping that we make a submission to the next MINMEC for final registration. What we have done, we have revised the variation manual to include distances and double handling and other difficulties. And working shape one of those areas we considered. And we hope that in the next meeting we'll be able to report on that. Yeah, if the eastern shape and KZN, it is mainly the areas that we considered where the writing manual had to be adjusted. It was the key that ended up being discussed, and one of those. However, the manual is approved will be applicable to all areas where there are similar prevailing conditions. And that will be one of the issues that we are changing in tomorrow's active meeting. The next regular meeting, there is a special meeting coming, but the next regular meeting will be put in the next maybe 2 months. I don't know. I don't have the next. From our side, we have presented about 7 policies that are going through. So the next MINMEC will be considering those policies for consideration, and then we will bring them as and when they are ready to the TV office to the portfolio committee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chair, the associate parties, we are, as we speak, we are implementing projects. And I can tell you also that there's a number of projects in Lusikiziki. And if you go to that area, so unfortunately we don't have the luxury of time to wait. So what we have done, we have gone ahead, we have done a full-blown costing. Some of those projects are costing in the region of about 140,000 to 150,000 per year to build because of the terrain issue. They have double handling. Some of the materials cannot be even taken by wheelbarrow. You have to carry, so that there's labor involved. So, Chair, we have gone in, and now as we speak, the committee is sitting and evaluating those submissions, the technical committee, so that we'll be able to give the project to move on. Otherwise, we will not be able to deliver.
This is not an issue that came up at Toronto. We have been hammering the issue of S2C, which is not working. And a policy, they would say, I won't take ages to review a policy. A policy, something is an internal, unlike a legislation. But now you are continuing building in as many houses
with post-cut handling to control issues, the topograph. See, one who put it up on it, and then the one that you can ask, the book of him, you saw him from the book of open.
I think there are three issues that maybe we need to separate, and that is the first part is the SCCA in Seoul, which is Southern Cape Coastal Condensation Area, which is some form of factory. We've dealt with that, and NMEC has already gone ahead and approved the new norms and standards. You know, the SCCA forms part of the new subsidy requirement, which has been communicated to all the provinces, and I think it's going to be effective. My name was assessed, but it's effective, in fact, immediately. And that is informed by the fact that DTI has already passed the new building norms standards, what is referred to as SEMS 1040. So that part has already been taken care of. The DG has reached to all the agencies in terms of how we are going to deal with the new building norms standard. We won't be talking as CCA going forward. We'll only be talking about the new building norms standards, which has always been a contentious issue that the Western Cape Coastal Condensation Area up to the south of East London. These are the areas that are benefiting. Even Saldanha is not beneficting out of the SCCA evacuated area. But with the introduction of the new building, new norms and standards, and the new quantum, every part of the country, because there's condensation everywhere, there was a big debate here. And we were told that even in Limpopo, condensation is a massive issue. So the new norms and standards are going to be applicable across the board. And that subsidy quantum is kicking in immediately. In fact, if my name says well, the new subsidy quantum has now moved to 110,000 per unit, which is significant by any standard. Municipalities have also adopted a very hard line stance that they are not going to approve any building plans if they don't comply with the new norms and standards, the new building regulations. So it went to MINEC, MINEC approved it, DG wrote to all the agencies concerning the new subsidy quantum, which is based on the new norms and standards. The only part which is outstanding, that's why I'm saying let's separate the two. The only part which is outstanding is the GSA variances. That's the part that my colleague, Mr. Matisa, is talking about, which talks directly to the topographic conditions. Currently, I'm sure the CEO of NHPRC can assist here. Currently, you are allowed to use up to 50% of the variances, the variations. If you want to go about that, there are processes that you need to follow. The Minister, the MC, we have to inform the National Minister about the variations or the divisions. But at this stage, the allowance is up to 15%. But they are working on a new user guideline or user manual to deal with the topographic issues.
Hello, we're through with the Eastern Cape. Let's take a 10-minute compact break, and then we'll come back. As long as I'm not around, what's the number of 10 p.m.? That's the lowest of time. Because there is a project there called Ghana Municipality. Nayo, the contractors are complaining. And one thing we should understand, people, if you don't respond to people appropriately, they have the right to come to Parliament, constitutionally. And we have got an obligation to respond to their complaints. And the IE command the message about it, because now the ones that come to oversight it, we are very serious about oversight it. It means each department of the Eastern Cape, now they must listen carefully. Because this is not the only contractor now. Yesterday I got something else from Gama. I've not read it, it's there. Because I said, no, I'm tired of it taking now. Now quality of the Savior, Abba. But we are going to wait for that presentation for the two. But it means we have to take a decision to say there has to be a thorough investigation. Their contract has the Eastern Cape as a province as a whole. We need to come back and report about the contractor. But for now, respond to the truth. But colleagues are maybe who have asked this, which one is the one? Because you might have information, I remember, and pattern your report.
No, we can start. Thank you, Honorable Chair, members and colleagues. My name is Nkondoni, the Regional Director for Nelson Mandela Metro Region.
Okay.
I'm in that region for the provincial office. Next to me is Nicholas Seu. I brought him. In fact, he was also invited by the committee to come and talk into this project. The reason that they were implementing agents.
So you are appointed by the Department of Human Settlement?
Yes, I'm the regional director.
You are the regional for the department?
Yes.
Where is the person from Nelson Mandela? Alright, continue. Is it
right? There was an implementing agency during the time of when this project took place. We had various meetings with the contractors and the chair in my office, and we also went as far as going to the center within the problem, trying to explain to these contractors. In terms of Fujo Global Claim, we never had a contract with the Metro Vendors. They were subcontracted. And the details you report on what has happened in terms of the record into the project. I couldn't bear subconducting with it.
What's up with somebody?
By the rent builders.
Right?
The rent builders.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Seu was talking to us because he was manager there during that time. He got all the details. We got the record also that was presented to them. Also, in terms of Chase 600, Madam Chair, the money owed to this contractor was paid to them on closure of Hubelicha. There was a record that was done by learning strategies that was employed by the National Department of Human Settlement.
I will turn it over to Nicholas to speak into the details. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, honorable members of the committee and the colleagues. As Mrs. Donnie has said, my name is Nicholas Seo. I'm from the Housing Development Agency, a program manager for the Eastern Cape and Joint Nuclear Project. Fortunately, my previous life, I was with Tubelisha as the provincial manager for Tubelisha, which was appointed by province to oversee these two projects, which is the Joshua 950 project and the Chase 600 project.
Mm-hmm.
And to confirm now, those two projects are not part of the HD. They were never, when the two minister company closed, they were sent back to province. So
ah.
Yes?
Ah. Ah. It's slow, we are.
Okay.
You must be slow when you come into that one.
Let me explain what actually happened is Sanemvula project has this project next to it, which is not part of Sanemvula project. It has its own independent agreement, which was not part of the Sanemvula project. And it comprised of 1,600 units, which 600 of them were done by the municipality before to the issue. So 950 of those projects, of those were developed by province. No, it's not Zanembola, but it's Joslova 950.
Oh,
Joslova. Not Zanembola.
Okay.
Joslova 950. The one on the side now. Two conductors were appointed. Each were given 4.75 units. And those contractors appointed their own subcontractor, which Metrobuilders was one of those subcontractors. When we were in the area, there were issues of sessions. We advised municipalities not to proceed with sessions because sessions were also exposing the administrative head and portal heads. Subcontractors were paid directly by Tobilisha via letter of instruction. What would happen would be the main contractor, when he claims, he will also attach an invoice of the subcontract. So that the given arrangement, the money goes to the subcontractor and the money goes to the main contractor.
Awana kupata, askara kusubcontract, askara kusubcontract. What happens kusubcontracting? I don't know. I don't understand what it. I'm just a lay person. Tell me, what happens with contracting? I did. I was a tender. Is that contracting then I end the question page? Do I have to introduce my subcontractor to the B committee? Before the SSC is on.
What actually happened when you go out to tender, you will have to request the contractor to put out the construction methodology, how it's going to deliver the project. That means you have to provide the work in terms of specialization, this one is special foundations, construction, and whole place. It will only be the methodology because at that particular moment, he can't bring forth as he has won the tender there. Once the tender is awarded to it, on that particular condition of tender, we normally specify that 70% of labor should be pulled from the local community and 20% of work should be subcontracted. It's a piece specification. So we've got this tender code which says 20% of your work should be subcontracted. That locality issue and subcontracting is managed close with the office of the councillor because he's the one who reports in terms of statistics of that particular area, that people have been involved, jobs have been created in this particular area, and contractors are coming from the same area.
And so you are saying that one is managed by...
closely with the office of the councillor. Because they have to go to the councillor's office to register, and then we take the data from there, and then we put the data to our system. In this particular instance, Madam Chair, you will see from the slide, there's a lot of payments made by province on the lines of province.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just feel completely lost. I don't have a presentation on this matter. We have also not received the beforehand, so I'm not quite sure of how to... understand.
You are quite right. You have not received it again. But because this is a matter of urgency, we need to address it. But what is important, you must get in court. We can't leave this one because it means we are still going to have other sessions. We cannot finish this today. But.
I understand the urgency, but I mean, these things are flapping up here. We can't even read them. The writing's too small. So
I'm not going to phone to pass.
They can get it a bit bigger for us.
Look at the phone to pass. My document is coming. Let us look at the presentation. Is an arena. We'll say again. Nine. More than 20% of the money are closed by the capital, and then call on the policy. This is because this policy is very much important. It's a policy matter. We need to grab a policy matter, and then we are going to now follow with another. But we should understand the policy matter. Is another question.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I don't know whether I must I go to the case now. Could you explain the 20%?
Hello, the 20%. Yes, subcontract. I have contract to it. Who endorses it? Because I think I look to get it beating up in a life. This is as bad as project. Whoever, both the council and the province are aware now. Who is going to manage the project itself? So we know that CEO has a bid for the project. Now all the things now, the 20% and so on, and all those arrangements and all, before we finalize the bid committee, before we finally say, yes, this is our report, we know that the main contractor is a subcontractor. If I'm wrong,
Madam Chair, regarding the subcontracting, it won't be possible because you will end up including now in the argument with the main contract. But
I'm not saying your report, your record. You can't say a person must subcontract and then you don't know who has been subcontracted. But we need to know what is going on there. What is the point of saying? Because that person is delivering for you. Remember me? No. I don't want to remember the contribution.
No.
I want the department head.
No, I agree. They will come in, but I just want to say something. They will respond. You see, we have a contract between the department and the main contractor. The main contractor is accountable to everything, including what the subcontractor is doing. So you can't have it, the subcontractor can't come in there.
No, I know that. I know that. There are good things that I'm getting. We want to know the policy. I want to know the policy. What does the policy say in terms of subcontracting? It's in the policy in terms of subcontracting. So that we move together. If that contract, you're saying the contractor, the main contractor, must bring the receipts and so on, the specifier would say, I've got a little bit. So if I say, would like to buy a subcontractor, that's a problem of natural color man, because this is the development. That's on their call. That is what is wrong. Subcontracting. How do you protect? How do you protect the government policy? How does it protect its subcontractors from the unscrupulous main contractors? Because the people of the disadvantaged communities have been suffered. Have enjoyed the better life at city corner. The seniors are not around. Because of these policies, that's why I want to know the policy. Because those houses are built for the government. Those ones are not built for the private sector. They are built for government. So, Nina, it's important to defend about from exploitation. Contractual obligation. But you can't tell to us as people who are in oversight. As a corporate, the sector is just practical. The oversight, every basis. How do you service the citizens? So am I by cutting.
Chair, I think we should invite us also to make another presentation, but I'll make it back. What is actual learning in this instance? We can confirm that we do protect our subcontractors and also protect our levers. That's why on IPCs there's a report that is submitted which talks to expand the type of work program. Whereby each contractor has to provide how many jobs have been created in those particular months.
Okay.
For subcontracting, as I said before, there are three methods that can be used.
Okay.
The first one is the session, which can assist the contractor, but it also exposes the principal of the client. Session is whereby you are saying a subcontractor enter into an agreement with the main contractor,
mm-hmm.
and as principal, that means as a client, you then acknowledge that session.
Okay.
That means that session you recognize it. It means
who recognizes
the client, which is the province or the HTA or the two minister there. When you acknowledge that, in any case where there is a matter of litigation, it then exposes the administrative head. It also exposes the principal agent, the political heads. You will find that most of these conditions you will see the second and the third respondent, whether it's an MECO or the minister, on a contractual issue. That is the first one. The second one is a minor work agreement in terms of the GPC's contract, which can be used to assist the subcontractors. The third one is a JPCC subcontracting agreement, which also helps that. But once you link these three, you then release the main contractor in terms of accountability, because he is giving you the insurance, he is giving you the guarantees, he is also taking accountability of the site. And then that means the professional entity now moves from the contractor to you as the province or as the agent.
Which is the
municipality? Which is the
municipality?
Okay. And then it, or province, or whoever who is there. But what is better is to, as I was saying before, have this arrangement that is within the confines of the law. No law is broken, whereby you acknowledge the two, but you don't expose the minister or the MEC or the HOT on this matter by saying main contractor. Every claim that you are submitting, acknowledge the work that has been done by the subcontractor. When you are submitting a claim, attach an invoice from the subcontractor. We know you haven't done the work.
Mm.
And also attach a letter of instruction that this 5 million that I'm claiming, 2 million give it to the subcontractor, 1 million give it to me.
Mm.
And then when that is processed, you will see those invoices should be there for the main contractor and for the subcontractor with a letter of instruction, which says, based on this work that I've overseen, or site monitored, I can confirm this subcontractor has done this work, this is their invoice, take the money, give to them, and then give the balance to me.
Okay.
In this instance, that is in front of us, Madam Chair, that has also happened. You can see from 1650, all these invoices were done based on that arrangement. There is evidence in places, there are invoices that can be presented which reflect that. That instruction was there, the man was redirected to the main and subcontractor, and the main subcontractor acknowledged receipt of the money based on the bill that they have created on that.
Okay.
And up until the last invoice, which totals to my plus minus 3 million rands, which is more than 3 million rands for this particular contract.
Okay.
So the only confusion that happened to main contractor and our contractors, as they are trying to, so they think, if you are talking about a project budget, you are talking about the construction budget.
Okay.
And then they assume if there's a balance on the project account, that balance belongs to them.
Okay.
But in this instance, all these money that are there, we paid to this subcontractor, based on that instruction to pay, with their invoices attached, because they've created that thing. For anything further than that, that we are cleaning with no invoice, with no supervision from the main contractor, with no letter of instruction, that means there's no such work done. That is how, if you look at this letter, we sent down the province, we've been everywhere, it's signed by the CFO, Mrs. West, she should be last here. We've discussed with this, with them this letter, we've discussed with the complainant, but somehow they think they can claim the balance of their budget money, which has got nothing to do with that. That has got something to do with how the budget allocation to the factories wind up is suited to be stupid, not the balance on the project itself. But I'm not to say, all invoices that were due, the subcontractor were paid based on the value created and the letter of instruction.
No, they are saying they have paid the money. When I was discussing with these contractors, more than even this one, what does that mean? It has old laws of 90. When I was discussing with them, he argument in So they think that they can play in the budget. You must be specific.
So if you look at this particular phase, a subcontractor has no right to pay the consulted fees. Because he's a subcontractor, why would he go out and appoint a consultant? The second one, contract management fee. Why would he claim a contract management fee? He doesn't have a contract with the client.
No, he can't appoint a consultant.
Consultant.
Yes.
Okay. And then contract management for 720,000. That's why, because he doesn't have a contract with the client. What he has been giving, for example, 40 foundations, as a fixed lump sum amount of 40,000 rand to deliver. The professional fees, the insurances are still sitting with the main.
Okay, cool.
And you will see they are also claiming wet work schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know what is wet work schedule.
Mm-hmm.
They are also claiming rectification work.
Mm-hmm.
They've got also consultation fees. You know, I think they just, for me, I can answer for them, but I think as a subcontractor who has been given work of being 50 houses,
the argument between yourselves now. Can you take it as if you are not there? We are not in a vocation now. Once the argument between yourselves, have you engaged with them on this matter? And then have you explained to them, and then what is the response? Because once you know the argument, we understand that now. And you are embarrassed when you say they can't afford consultants. But we need to know, they have to come to us to tell us why they appoint consultants. So that's not what I'm talking about. You put them in between yourselves and the subcontractor. Why are you raising this? If these people are saying they have been to the department, they have been to the legislature, but how come they're not interpreting that this thing, that this is from the legislature point of view? Because that's a lot of money put wrong on it. But that's what I want to know. Mina, then you know, the new particular value in writing it in number, this is the financial, not minutes. Here is the report between us, the minutes between us and them. We have explained these things to them. But who have for the right to go to there if they are not happy? But who? Here is the center in our head for a year again or for 2 years. We have come no April to address this matter, tell them that which are wrong. They are not going to go to my side. To tell them, no, you are not supposed to do this, this, and that. Is it a big cup? No, I'm not sure.
That is just clarity. We are saying to us, and they are saying that they are repeating. What is it? They are saying, if you allow this, all of this, you give them a stand. And then they are saying, what is that for?
Feeling at quite a disadvantage here, but nevertheless, I'm going to ask the question. when you're, and this is not an isolated case, because your subcontractors or your emerging contractors in some instances are the ones that get undone at the end of the day. And I think that's what we're trying to avoid. Because whilst your main contractor has got the contract with the municipality or the whoever they've got it, whether it's the province or whoever, that's fine. But then they too have to enter into some sort of a contract, I would think, with the subcontractor. So is there a document that you sort of put together at that stage to say, this and this is required of you, so that when there is any problem at the end of the day, you've got some document to fall back on to say, this is what you were required to do, why are you now claiming for all these other things when this is really, and as the main contractor at the time of the work that's being done, surely there would be some course of oversight that you would be doing. So if they're rectifying or they bring some any consultants in or whatever, immediately you pick it up, as you would say. You know, what is the problem here? So I think that's what we're grappling with to try and understand. Because then at the end of the day, there also comes the point where that subcontractor or the emerging contractors come looking for pay that they haven't got or they haven't got in time, but the main contractor has been paid anyway.
And so, not doing the job?
Yeah. So I think this is what we're grappling with as a committee.
Madam Chair, I think this is a very isolated case because we've got lots of subcontractors on site who are definitely in that administration relationship. They will always be shortcomings, but we always end up and resolve them. But I think, as you were saying, if this is an isolated case, let's look at this case.
Okay.
And then, because we've sent you with the contract.
This
particular one.
Okay.
Yeah. The project manager that is responsible for this project, Mr. Ivan Telefeld, sent with the contract. We've explained to them the policy issues and the issues that can't be done.
You explained us a lot before.
No, not before. If you look, for example, the issue of number 2, 16 billion, the consultancy, 1.7, or SARS. We all know subsidy is low rated, there's no VAT in SARS. We've explained to them that as much as we agree that when they buy material, they incur VAT, they can claim back to SARS. But subsidy is a crime, which does not, we don't pay VAT on them. They are aware of that, but he continue to claim the SARS.
When you are saying, all of the government ask a question, is there a document? Nobody is wrong or wrong.
to assist them also to learn to do things correctly.
Manny, they are coming. Here there are three categories. What is said in them, you agree, I mean you advise them not to consider. You advise them not to consider. So not my question, I don't what it is. In your interaction.
That's the rest of instructions that we ask them to consider. Why? You know, it's proper to manage the relationship between the two, but not to administer that contract.
Okay.
The reason why I'm saying this is, remember, the specification that you're giving to the main contractor is still the same specification that the subcontractor must use to build the same house. So you can't have rules for subcontractors and have rules for main contractors on the specification.
Okay.
On the arrangement of payments, that's why we said to them, you create value, one, based on these costing prices and the specification. Thirdly, you will have your invoice ready, and then the main contractor will attach a letter of instruction. That arrangement will be made and it will be paid. And on that situation, it means there is no problem because they are getting their money. If it happens that the main contractor brings an invoice to say this money belongs to me, I do not have the subcontractor, it's mine, that main contractor must prove it. Because we know the old material, they've got subcontractors on them. They can't just say this is ours. We've got inspectors on site from NHRC, from municipality and commerce. But I'm trying to run away from managing the contract and administer the relationship so that the main contractors don't abuse the subcontractors. And then the subcontractors still get their money. But if you're going to create two documents to say, subcontractor, look at this document, it's yours. Main contractor, look at this document, it's yours. But the end product is still the same house. So they should use the same specification that was sent out to tender when we went out to tender. So this is the document that you are using. Regarding SARS, they are bad vendors. They know exactly, by virtue of being in business, they should be paying them. And there is a policy document which talks to that. Regarding subsidy, the subsidy requirements are available. But you can't create a separate document for them to say, this is where you must look so that you are cheated, other than administering that relationship for payment of value created on site. This is how we've dealt with this matter. The project manager for the project and the province has paid accordingly. If Madam Chair, there was a situation whereby he was saying, I've built 50 foundations, I can prove this is the material that I've spent on this foundation, this is how I bought them, I've delivered them, here's my invoice, and the main contractor has not paid me.
Yeah.
It's a different scenario to a situation whereby he comes back to say, I need consolidation fees. I need contract fees, I need sales money, I need wet and work procedure, which are issues with, if you look at that response, we say this thing is not payable. You don't have an agreement, it's not part of it.
So on this instance, you mean to say they have never brought that information to yourself? Okay, they have done this work and they have not been paid by the main contractor.
What we know from our side is, is the balance on the project budget based on the approved funds by province of 7.7 million rands, if you look at this argument. But the value of work that they've created on site was 3.8 million rands. I don't know how they got to say there's still money on the project, which has got nothing to do with what they've done on site. And you'll find out now their claim is equal to the balance of the project, which they might be trying a luck to say there's a savings, we need the same, but we have to account for that money also if we have not paid for it. But from us, all invoices
that yes, there is a balance. You don't have to, we're not going to say pay them, because you have to pay them according to the way that I just said that. But we have to account to us. Why the local balance is in, the farmers are giving, the subsidy quantum was there to build the houses. We need to account on that one. But for them, we cannot say they have got the right to claim that. As long as we are clarifying that the work that is done has been paid for. But if there are things that is the balance, they can tell us, justify to us, quantify or quantify to us, why are they saying they have to claim that. But on the other side, you need to account to us. Because once you are given the money by the local department to build 20 units, we know that that budget is for civil. It's for all the other issues. So there is a percentage. There is a percentage for each and everything. And then the rest is for a unit. So when you need a balance, you have to tell us what balance is there. Because we're not a profit-making organization. We don't have to have profit.
No, to some extent you commented on what I want to ask. You know this letter of their say 1529. They agreed to pay something but saying subject to availability of funds. So if under
sorry, which one?
It's the last page.
Oh,
where
yeah.
they've signed. 1529.
Yes.
I think whether it's invoice number 1529, yeah.
Yes.
Invoice 1529, it's like they don't have a problem in paying that one. But from the other that they wrote, it's like they have no dealing with this person. So why respond to why respond in this manner on this last one? And the sentence that says the liquidator is currently scrutinizing the claim, and once the department receives confirmation, will be able to finalize the claim. So that sentence itself says these people are justified to claim. It's just that the department is not sure whether they must pay or not. They will await the scrutinization.
And they are not communicating with them. Because this report is coming to us now. Seemingly they have not communicated with them. The errors. For instance, there's another one.
But it's not coming to our chairperson, this report. It's going to Metro Builders. Maybe
no.
To add it might be an assessment, but if you look at what this this letter is, it's not meant for us. It's just that maybe not, we just want to entertain it. But
they have not taken now.
They are saying this report.
Yeah.
It's not meant for us. It's just that I don't know why we are entertaining it, but why do we do it? Because it's not meant for us. It's meant for the Metro Builders.
But they have not paid Metro Builders. The Metro Builders came to us to say they have not paid.
Then
they have to tell us why.
Where is our response if you are saying they are responding to us? Because this is not our response to us. It's for the Metro Builders. Where is our response?
Exactly.
We can't entertain things like this.
Verse number 159 also. Then your response is that no one authorized or had the official claims on this project. How can the program then do it if we without an authority?
The last one, no documentation from official person, from department, or to get it certified work done. That's not what I mean. I don't know, we're wasting our time. No, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time. Yeah, it's not fair.
No. Chairperson, I think also just looking at all these issues on here, the question has got to be, what have they done in consulting with this crowd, you know, regarding these issues, you know, before it even comes up, you know, have they asked them about the week work schedule? I don't even know what that kind of thing is, but all the consultants, or, you know, this in writing here, but have they actually physically spoken to these people?
Honorable Duncan?
Chairman, to be honest, I think this is a triangle between the militia who appointed the veteran builders and the metro being the subcontractor.
Let me just
say this. When the contact was between Tbilisi and the Berlin builders. We cannot.
Tbilisi is no longer here, and this matter are supposed to be addressed then. But the department has to take the responsibility.
But Chairman, yes, yes. I just want to make a suggestion. There is a report on Tbilisi. The fact that they've been.
We don't want that report. We are addressing this matter here. We want to address this matter here. Not with Tbilisi. Tbilisi wants to know the closure. It has got nothing to do with closure of Tbilisi. But we know that Tbilisi is no longer there.
Okay, President, if I may just continue by saying this. There's no, as far as I'm concerned, this is my opinion, that we can't say that we approve that this claim can be, for instance, being paid out to the Metro.
No one is approving that. We cannot do that because we have to call those people to be here. But we want to engage with these people to tell us what went wrong. That's the bottom line. And we have to know that. And then we have to call those people to come and respond. And we cannot say the department has got no role to play. They have got a role to play. So, let my
thank you, Chairperson. I'm agreeing with you that the department has to take responsibility. What I want to check is, are we going to give them a recommendation and then also to give them the time frame to rectify this? The question.
Now, what we're going to do now, once we have extracted this information we want, we're going to call, invite these people. But the procedure is to hear from the department. But the department is not assisting us, as one of my colleagues saying. This report is not directed to us. This is a letter that we have responded. They should have prepared a report to us to say, oh, no. So now, they are just giving us the letters that were written to these people for 2018 April. Now, there is no response to us explaining what happened is this and this. But now it's fine. They are telling us verbal what happened. But it does not mean that the verbal issue, we are not accepting it. We are not accepting it. What we are saying now. I'm rolling. I'm closing this chapter. Next week you come back with a proper report, and we want Nelson Mandela, because Nelson Mandela has to play a role. Nishiro Nanapa's role here in the local municipality is to manage closely the relationship, the subcontract and the contract, the Ongalo project. We want Nelson Mandela here. Nirani Vuna has a responsibility. Nelson Mandela was invited, one of the members. Now, I did not receive any more ethics. Nelson Mandela is not involved. They did not respond to me. Kola, did you receive any letter from Nelson Mandela? In fact, his department, that says he, says, no, Nelson Mandela has got nothing to do with this project. This project was managed by Tbilisi. Now, so I have not received any apology from Nelson Mandela. I invited Nelson Mandela. Then they made those arrangements for an internal Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela was who was that? That was their arrangement. Because I called Nelson Mandela and called Nelson Mandela. They should know. The municipality has got a responsibility to monitor my project. How is it their jurisdiction? It's irrespective of who implements. They must come and tell us, Nelson Mandela, Nina, you grumble and you say you want to come. Now we're not assisting. We're coming back next week. Thank you. Chapter closed. Lisa, ask for help. We're not continuing. We're going to come back next week.
chairperson, is we may also request that the presentation comes to us a couple of days before. This is a complicated issue, and we want proper facts on a piece of paper.
And yes, we are going to invite the complainant. Because we have given you, we are going to invite the complainant. They can send us right to address this matter, and thereafter we call them. We don't have time, unfortunately. We don't have time left. Unfortunately, we do not have time.
So we want to know what happened. The first main issue which the AG raised, Chairperson, was the issue of significant uncertainty.
Oh.
And this was in respect of a contingent liability for rental or for lease payments for a building which the department had not yet occupied, and which the Department of Public Works continued to invoice us, so we had not yet occupied it. So there was a disagreement. But the AG felt that we should accept it as a contingent liability. The total amount was 22.4 million. The second main issue which AG raised, Jefferson, was in respect of material underspending. This related to the Royal Household Infrastructure Grant, in respect of which we had underspent as a department. And the third issue which main issue which was raised by AG was incomplete proper supporting documents for financial statements. And this was in respect of RIC as well, that we recorded on RIC only financial statements, but at the time when we completed the financial statements and submitted them to AG, the excessive register of all the toilets built was not finalized. The third main issue, or the fourth one, main issue they raised was in respect of material misstatements. Material misstatements of expenditure of capital assets, contingent liability, prepayments, lease commitments, accruals, and immovable assets disclosure, items identified by the auditors. And this is in respect of items they identified during the audit where there were errors which we had to make changes and correct during the audit. The next issue was in respect of shortcomings in respect of performance information. They raised a number of issues with regard to performance information. The first one was adequacy and reliability with respect to evidence. And they also indicated that 38% of reported indicators and targets were not consistent or complete with the indicator or targets as the approved annual performance. They also raised the issue of indicators which were not logically related or directly related to institutions managed. And then the next issue, which was the main issue they raised on the audit report, was in respect of transfers and subsidies. The main issue they were raising here was that a business plan for utilization of the Human Settlement Development Grant allocation made to 9 provinces was not approved prior to the start of the financial year. In other words, we received business plans from provinces too late, and as a result, by the time the financial year started, the main business plan has not yet, which is a consolidation of all business plans from provinces, has not yet been. And then the next issue was on asset management, proper control systems for the safeguarding and maintenance of fixed assets as required by TCMA. The next issue was on human resource management and compensation of employees. They raised 2 issues here. The first one was that persons in charge of pay points did not always certify that employees receiving payment were entitled to the payment. In other words, when there is a payroll report in terms of the system used by government, and managers have to sign those payroll reports on the 15th of the month. What they found, what they raised, was that in most cases, these payroll reports were not signed on the 15th, but they signed on another date, maybe earlier or later than the 15th. But in terms of the law, they must be signed on the 15th. And then they raised the issue of vacancies. That funded vacant posts were not filled within 2 months as required by the public service regulation. And based on all that, they then concluded that the department did not have or did not maintain an effective and efficient and a transparent system of internal control regarding performance management. Based on this issue, Chair, I'll just take the committee through actions taken by the department to address these findings. The first action I'm looking at to exercise oversight and ensure compliance with performance and reporting prescriptions, the department has introduced an ongoing system of exception letter where there is poor performance and non-compliance. What happened here is that on a continuous basis, quarterly, there is a system in place where performance by each unit is looked at by a specific person or a unit. Mr. Morane was here in the morning and he is responsible for that. And where there is poor performance, he communicates that to the DG and the letter. Specifically signed by the DG, sent to the responsible manager. Department has also introduced a system of information text and assessment questionnaires. Further, the department has introduced a system of compulsory performance review sessions. What this means is that every end of the quarter, the DG has instructed that every branch should hold a review session where performance reviews are done. And every branch is going to compile a clear report in terms of its performance as against the predetermined targets. The department has ensured compulsory training of all senior managers in areas of monitoring and evaluation, strategic planning, governance and accountability. In addition to the department has developed an enterprise operations performance assessment framework as well as guidelines on enterprise architecture. This is the policy document which guides senior managers and department on strategic planning and performance evaluation. The department has also introduced a system of tracking outstanding targets. The department also requested the Department of Public Works in writing to reverse the lease charges and issue a credit note. And this was done because the department was of the view that because we have not occupied the building, it was incorrect for DCW to invoice us. And we did not pay based on the lease agreement as signed by all parties. DPW is currently processing that request. With regards to this building, Chair, I think it has already been indicated in the morning that the landlord has commenced with the refurbishment and that there has been an indication that by the end of June, the building would be ready for occupation. They have submitted a preliminary implementation plan which outlines various stages of the refurbishment process, including projected timelines for approval by the Department of Public Works. And there also has been a steering committee established to monitor the work, refurbishment work on this building. As indicated here, in terms of the preliminary project implementation plan, it is anticipated that the project will be finalized by the end of the, I think the correct date as indicated by the COO is the end of June. With regards to understanding, there were a number of steps taken. One, a request for a rollover has been approved by National Treasury. The inquiry gazetting to municipalities, which are not water service authorities, has been corrected. I think Mr. Chauke dealt with this earlier on this morning. And that business plans have been received from municipalities. I think even here, Chennai, I should correct, in terms of the report given this morning, the business plans were received from 23 municipalities. And Mr. Chauke indicated that 3 have not yet submitted. And then, in addition to that, the plan is that funds will be transferred to the ones where the business plan has been approved. And that is supposed to be happening this weekend in terms of the division of revenue and provisions. All invoices for materials are checked and delivery notes are attached for payment purposes to prevent what happened last year. we have included that requirement in terms of payments. The department held one-on-one discussions with respective provinces, and the provinces in question are Mpumalanga, Free State, and Limpopo. As a result of the above initiative, the department has, for the 2013-2014 financial year, complied with the order regulations and the national plan, and eight provincial plans, with the exception of Limpopo, was approved on the 31st of March by the Director General. This chair was done in light of the finding that by the beginning of the financial year, in the previous financial year, we were in a situation where the consolidated plan had not yet been approved. The Director General approved the plans, but in some cases, plans were approved with reservations because there was a need for changes to be made. The provinces where the DG had reservations were requested to resubmit a revised business plan. These plans included plans from Limpopo, which was received a notice by the DG. The letter of approval signed by the DG was sent to National Treasury. The letter included the approval of the business plan for Limpopo. To address the issue of asset management, a web study was done which recommended creation of an asset management unit. In the past, the asset management was the responsibility of supply chain management unit. The work study revealed that there is a need for a separate unit to specifically address asset management. And as a result, a new asset management unit has been created and appointments will be finalized this month. The department has reviewed financial delegations in order to ensure proper certification of payrolls. The department has also taken a decision to fill all the vacant positions before the end of financial year. And the process of recruitment has been enhanced to address all the bottlenecks. I think this was reported in the morning chair by the COO. And this chair, a totality of actions the department has taken to address the findings raised by the AG in the audit report. Thank you, Chair.
Where's the report?
Thank you, Chair. Let me start right here at the vacant positions. I think we're probably heading for our third year of promise in filling up these vacant positions by the end of financial year. And I think perhaps we need to put in financial year 2014-15-16? And then, because I think I also understood the department, I didn't understand it was by the end of this financial year that 90% of vacancy is going to be filled. The other question I'd like to raise is in connection with the 22 million outstanding, the invoice for the offices that were not occupied, 22.4 million. Are we assured that we are going to get that back? Because I find it extremely strange that, you know, the department is being invoiced for something that they haven't used. In fact, I think, if my memory serves me correctly, this was on last year's list as well. So if we can have some confirmation of that, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. There was an issue of treasury delegation. Whereby the annual performance plan, it is said there's a requirement that the annual performance plan should form the basis of the annual report. That's requiring consistency and of objectives, indicators and targets between planning and reporting for you. I don't know if you have responded to that one. Because the AG say a total of 38% of the reported indicators and targets are not consistent or not complete
with the indicators and patterns as can be approved by member for months. And then this was due to management's lack of understanding of their reporting requirements. So I think both issues you have addressed. Honorable Masala, I don't know whether you have a
She spoke to the issue about the fund, filling of funded vacant posts. I'm saying that if they say they are going to fill them, or they might have committed in the past, but the reality is that sometimes it might not be feasible. If you look at the plans that the Minister of Finance took when he presented the budget, that there is no money. And the economic crisis, I mean, in the midst of all of these things, can we really as a committee or the department confirm that such a thing will be done? I don't think so. Because if there are authority measures to be taken, what do you do? But if the car is still going, even the tariffs are not that okay, you continue to drive it for an extra kilo. Until it gives you a problem. So if the department is functioning with it, if the other post not filled with the posterity, there is no way they can wake up in the morning and feel create an expense which they could live without. You know, I don't know what my comment is there for.
Okay.
Is that
okay?
Yes, sir. I'm so worried about the under D material in the statement. What I mentioned that payment. If the water generation pays the payment, the one is so that if you can pay some up front, this is not getting the material prepared. Then you prepay the person. This is not an effort if you want to do to pay some upfront. Whether the material is there, but you pay some upfront.
Master.
Yes, sir.
Master, I'm sorry.
Government question the charges for the offices that the invoices sent to them for a building that they are not occupying, because I was going to ask them if the department paid those invoices, and if the department did pay, what was the paying for if they were not occupying the building?
The only thing that I'm going to get is that responses. And then I want to go to a guy. He's a vampire. But I don't think, because the issue was about the control measures, supply chain management. Now, when listening to the report, I'm asking myself a question to say, come next time of reporting, will all these issues that have been raised by the AG have been addressed by the department? That's my question now. Based on the responses that you have seen, are we given an assurance that we won't see? Why I'm asking this? Because the 2011 report was the same, the other one was the same with the state. That is why I'm saying, let us liberally eat this food. Liberally. Just read the book. For me, it doesn't give me consent for all these errors, all these matters that have been raised, out of those for my life, in next report. Sometimes I don't know how to be coming.
But if anything would be to the government, I will come to this committee. These are my alternate men. I'm offering myself. Hmm? But I will come to this committee very alternate men instead of choice. I will give it an assurance. But this area that has been raised by staging, you have established this year in committees, you have done this, you have done this. And even actually, in terms of the system, the year was the system, and the labor, supply chain management, system. Oh, yes, and this, how was it?
We're doing an oversight in 15 in Zambia's way concerning the material. So that is where we're going to be, the way we are asking the question. Mm. Yeah. It was 400 and something million paid up front. In 15, 400 and something. That's why we were just asking without an MDP.
The department has 1-on-1 discussion with the respective provinces. That means, as a result of the draft initiative, the department has, for 2013-14 financially, complied with DORA regulations. This is our vibe. That is our day. Even as an assurance. Because even if you are listening to presentation, the first presentation, so called other provinces are the overstanding. Land of the AIK, the first thing, and the overstander. That goes there. So that is why I'm asking, are we giving an assurance? Make an assurance. Yes. Yes, the assurance.
Thank you, Chair Sexton. What I can indicate here is that the focus is for us to deal with the recurring matters from the AG.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, if you look at the 38% of the reported indicators and the targets that are not consistent and not complete, we've got a collaboration with the Office of the AG in looking these matters on an ongoing place, on an ongoing cases, but also over and above, the department has since recruited the compliance officer, the lady who is sitting there, whose task also is to assist us as a department to make sure that there is compliance throughout. We don't also find ourselves wanting the we were supposed to be complying and we did not, and also we regret as a department.
Yeah, well, if we have not this dark. Actually, a remedy action has been taken. Appointment of a compliance, whatever. Do you understand the numbers? That's why I'm not if mine are but if Tina, after we have received this report, it's not going to tell you what we are doing very well. We do not dig it up. It should have come specific reference. A specific reference, how do we address the issues of not achieving? You are responding directly, appointed a compliance officer. What could it be? How do you
with your permission, Chair, if I can just touch on the vacancy rate, the 19% that was reported was at the end of the third quarter. Yes, the intention is to fill all the funded vacant positions by the end of this financial year. But with the challenges that we alluded to in our second quarter, where we we are competing with the private sector. It might be difficult in certain areas, but what we want to do is to say, at least let us have the vacancy rate that is within the acceptable range by the public service, DPSA, which is within 10%. So as we speak now, we had 19% at the end of the third quarter. So the drive, if you can also kill the 9% or 10% and above, that is what we are aiming for by the end of this financial year.
Chairperson, how many funded vacant positions is there in the department? Not in the in numbers.
It's 804.
How many funded vacant positions is currently in the government? Is there any unfunded positions?
Yes.
Maybe give us both, please.
The vacant funded position,
there are
152. Unfunded. I don't have the figure for the non-funded because we're still negotiating for the funding with the National Treasury.
But you still have those positions.
And most of them, they have been newly created, so we are waiting for the confirmation of the funding.
All right.
In terms of the exception letters, in terms of the oversight, the letter that the presentation was alluding to that is being signed by the Director General to the respective managers who are not complying, what we will be doing also going forward is to go a step further and include the non-compliance as part of the SMS specialty performance monitoring, so that when we come at the end of the financial year, we do not only appraise the SNS members on the meeting of the targets, we also include the compliance in respective areas. For example, whether it's financial compliance, it's HR, it's the signing of the payroll, that is part of the intervention that we are doing in order to make sure that compliance is enhanced within the department. Overall, Chairperson, we acknowledge the findings of the Auditor General, and we are busy updating the action list, looking at the areas where they have been recurring, with the intention of making sure that we deal with them once and for all, and in going forward, we ensure that we do not have those matters being raised by the AG. Thanks.
Okay. Last one. The housing institution. In the budget, in the development, what are special resources are implicated? It's the issue of the Auditor General's report. I don't want the department to account. You have to account for yourself. Have you responded to the issues that have been raised by the Auditor General, and how? Tell us.
Thank you, Chair. Yes. Chair, yes, we have had an informant in a specific area. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to deal with all investigations within 6 months, and in that letter we placed under administration, we lost a lot of the legally qualified people in the organization. We normally have about 6 to 7 lawyers that work with all of the cases against estate agents. And in this year, we report that we only achieved 6% of a target where we should have actually achieved much better. The reason for that, we had an exodus of all legally qualified people in the organization while the EAB administration. We then subsequently appointed them all. And by May last year, we had the whole department staffed again. And now we are doing much better when it comes to that specific area that we want, that we didn't perform properly. So we've rectified the situation, staffed new people, and we're pushing those numbers again. So they have all inspections that is against estate agents being resolved in a very reasonable period. you will appreciate that the legal system is very difficult in the sense that sometimes somebody's called to the telecommunities and they don't appear, and then we call them again and so forth. So there was some inefficiencies with the general process, but also the capacity issue resolved it, and now we'll be able to achieve our targets when it comes to those cases. Thank you, Chair.
The issue of monthly finances coming up is, have you begun to, have you started to implement producing those monthly financial statements?
Yes.
And then accounting report that we've submitted, are you submitting them?
Yes, we've started to create internally a process where we create the monthly financial statements and management account. We still have to bed down our process. We're not 100% where we want to be in terms of providing that to the department.
You have not yet reported to the department? Okay.
Not on a monthly basis.
So they have not yet requested them because they have. They have not done.
No, they have. They have.
Nearly never responded.
Yes.
It's you who have not responded
yeah,
to their request.
That's
what
we
need
to do. Yes, Chair. We have an action list that outlines almost about 54 line items.
Uh-huh.
That was developed as an action plan,
uh-huh,
which the AG has.
Uh-huh.
We report on a quarterly basis for our audit committee, where the AG also sits at that meeting,
uh-huh,
in terms of tracking
uh-huh
what has been agreed upon, how far we are. The plan is quite detailed in terms of outlining. Yes, because it aligns with the manager responsible, what is the area, what is the issue of risk, what are the recommendations, what is our response as management, and how far we are, what are the timelines.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see some have been resolved, some not resolved, but you put timelines in terms of when those issues are going to be resolved. Mainly, it's around the control that you actually mentioned, from supply chain management, finance issues, our non-performance information, so it's outlined here. We are submitting our monthly financial statements now, starting from November.
That is November,
yes.
Okay.
So we make sure that by the 10th of the following month, that is already submitted, the department can confirm that we have started with full capacity to actually do that. But the issue plan is here, can leave it to the principal of the affiliate. Thanks.
Yeah, one of the issues of financial statements, the Portal Committee committed itself to that financial year, to a committee monitor this year. And unfortunately, we must own it. It was an off-site class. We didn't make any follow-up. Now, AG came back, that is to say, you committed to them, we still found the very same problem. These institutions are not complying. So please comply. Who else is here for the, okay?
Chris Gordon, Rural Housing.
Okay,
okay. I'd like to ask you to apologize for we had prior engagement with Thunder.
Okay.
The only issue the AG raised in their final report was that we only achieved 68% of our targets. I think we set ourselves up a bit there. A number of our smaller targets were duplicated with different wording, so we're going to redo that so we don't have as many of the targets. In terms of our, what we call our major targets, the number of housing loans issued, number of people earning under 3,500 and to receive loans, the number of compliance loans that we issued, those we achieved. So we're now just making sure we actually define our target properly. The other area we had a bit of a disagreement with our auditors on the interest rate, average interest rate we charged. We achieved below the figure that was in our target. We considered that an achievement because we're trying to reduce the interest rate to our end users. They said it was an underachievement because we should be trying to make a profit. So there's a bit of a dispute there. So what we're doing is having our performance, writing a performance measurement policy, which will define that interest should be, if we achieve below the target, we'll be achieving the target.
Financial statements?
Financial statements we started submitting in
monthly
statements we started submitting in November when the department requested them, but we've always been producing them internally.
Okay. All of the comments?
That's quite interesting, the one about the interest rate. Because I think we as a committee, you know, with our financial institutions, they were established to assist the poor people. And so, you know, we want to see that interest rate come down rather than go up. So I'm not too sure that I understand the you know, it was an underachievement because you didn't, you know, achieve the profitability because of the interest rate that you reduced.
Hmm.
as I said, it was a bit of a dispute between us and the AAG. Their final thing was that it wasn't achieved because we were under the target, which is what obviously what we're trying to do, bring that down without compromising our sustainability. But yeah, we are bringing it down. It's going to be down further this year.
Why not yet? What about? Not yet, not yet. Okay. No good, but I don't have to. And we have come to the end. Next question. We have come to the end of our session. So thank you very much, really, honorable members. We have made a very, very fruitful contribution, even to our officials of the country. You know, there is a progress. I tell you, I understand how far I am from you in Yandan. You must not do these things. Even to our institutions, we really appreciate your presence. And we do appreciate your support as well. Any responses they can you do them in writing, take on the app, then do it yourself in writing, and then in the last you can also be that as a paragraph. But I want to thank you very much. Let's meet tomorrow at 7 PM. 7 PM. Our meeting is at 7 PM tomorrow.
Yeah, it's